everybody, this is Just In Case. This is episode 44. I wanted to kind of get something out there. There's been some mix-ups with the podcast because I have been very busy and kind of lost touch with kind of where we were. And I'm doing this one solo. We had some scheduling conflicts, and there's just a lot going on. And I just wanted to touch a little bit on maybe the Shazam movie and also the new Star Wars trailer that was put out. I guess I'll start off with the Shazam review, mini review. This is kind of a spoiler, so if you haven't seen it yet, you might want to wait on listening to this. I didn't anticipate the movie being as dark as it was. The advertisement for the film made it seem much more of a fun, lighthearted affair. And when I started watching it, I realized that, wow, they got some kind of deep family subject matter, like as far as, you know, hatred and just general verbal abuse that was rooted way far back with the main villain of the film, Dr. Savannah. And so it kind of starts from there, and I was just like, kind of, wow, okay, this is a little different than I'm used to, because I don't know a lot about that character per se. I know he's got like this magic eye. He knows how to see the runes and stuff like that that would tap and, you know, allow him to find the more darker side of the backstory or whatever. He's obsessed with looking for this, you know, information. So he's pores over maps. He's got it etched on walls and everything. He's just obsessed with it. Anyway, the movie kind of is different than what I'm used to. I guess I was used to the storyline where it was like, you know, Billy Batson had this uncle that adopted him, and there was a trust fund, and the uncle had been using money from this trust fund for gambling and all of that. That's what I read from the miniseries, the Black Adam, Captain Marvel, Shazam, whatever you want to call them, because I know there's a lot of confusion today because there's a Marvel, Captain Marvel, and I think it's all stupid, and I think that maybe they should be a little more clear with their characters, the way they name them, because nowadays you've got both companies are releasing all these films, and people are getting confused, and blah, blah, blah. So anyway, it was much different than what I was anticipating, and there's a lot of, you know, a lot of activity in there that's very, really, really on the dark side, and, you know, if they were to advertise it as such, I guess it just seemed like they're pulling the wool over people's eyes, and then there's like, oh, gotcha, April Fools, even though it's not April Fools, but it's like, I did not care for that. I felt it was dishonest. I felt that it was, if people did bring their kids to this film, that, you know, it's just a bad way to do business, in my opinion. And I know they don't really care about the bottom line and all that stuff, but there's just things in the film that I felt didn't need to be in there. And there were some things about the film I did like, but it really, they just dragged the whole thing down. I mean, Shazam's supposed to be like a, you know, goody-two-shoe kind of guy, you know, real honest and pure of heart and all that stuff. Not this kid that's going around, you know, acting like a turd and whatever, but what do I know? I guess that's not hip and current with the 21st century mythos, if you will. So, I don't know, it's just things like that. And I felt like the movie didn't really pick up and go until, like, towards the way end, you know. And it was kind of a slow go, and it was just kind of odd. And I guess we'll see. I mean, I'm going to be watching the Captain Marvel's Captain Marvel film tomorrow, and I am taking my son to that, because I talked to some folks that said, hey, no, it's good, and, you know, there's nothing horrible. It's on par with maybe, like, Aquaman from a violent standpoint or something like that, where there's nothing, like, crazy. This film, you know, the Shazam film had people getting their heads chewed off by entities and thrown out of skyscraper windows and lots of foul language and stuff and just general verbal abuse. And some of the family themes that were on there, like heavy abandonment issues and things like that, I just, you know, I just, again, if they're going to make that part of the movie, at least put that in the trailer or have, you know, because I bought the Aquaman on 4K, okay? And the sneak preview they had in there, which I think is about 10 minutes or so, mentioned nothing about any of this stuff. There was no gargoyles coming to life. There was no people getting their heads chewed off and thrown out skyscraper windows. It was a fun sneak preview. I'm like, this is great. I'm going to love this film. And it's like they took all the positive stuff in the film and the lightheartedness stuff and just threw it into the trailer and into the sneak preview. And then the rest of it's just like, you know, what I described previously. It's just really dark. Just, you know, I'm sure everyone's probably seen it, at least listens to this podcast. But from my standpoint, I felt it was very shady of the company to be the studio or whoever's in charge of distribution or promotion or whatever. I didn't feel that that was very honest of them to do that. So that's all I'm going to say about that. We'll see what happens. I've always been a fan of the Shazam comics, like when I was a kid. You know, the 80s stuff is really my thing, and I'd like to pick up the Power of Shazam comics that happened in the 90s. They're a little spendy, but I think it's worth it, and I should probably pick them up sooner or later because then they're just going to keep going up in price, because we're at this point now. I mean, those comics were, that had a limited print run, I understand, but there's a lot of comics in that era, whether be it Marvel, Independent, or DC. They were so overproduced, and now those comics are even starting to go up in price because people have thrown them out, or they're just generally not around in circulation anymore. So I definitely want to start picking those up, like rounding out my Superman collection, like Action Comics. I love the current stuff that's out, and also the Superman and the Man of Steel and all that. I want to get Adventures of Superman. I want to round all that out, especially in 1987 and up. Until they get to, like, the crappy Electric Superman. So, that's definitely something I want to do. But at any rate, I loved Shazam as a kid. And for the longest time, I was trying to remember this comic I had of Shazam. It was the first one I ever got where he's in it. And come to find out, because I'd bought all the 80s stuff that they had, as far as just Shazam stuff, it was the Secret Origins issue, which had Shazam in it, and after, it took me 32 years to find this, remember what this comic was, and it's a great issue, and any of the DC, the Secret Origins stuff, I highly recommend it. It's very cool, and the art's good, the colors are good, the story's great. I mean, it's what's not to like, and the Shazam comic is no exception to that. So I have a Blue Beetle one that's really good too. I give the film, the Shazam film, I probably give it a 70, because it did have a lot of cool stuff. It had like all the orphan kids, all got their powers, you know, they all got different aspects of the powers of Solomon or whatever you want to call it. Need a little caffeine because it's almost midnight, but at any rate, there's my thoughts on that. I know Ponch is going to go watch it, so we'll get his take on it when we reconvene. The other thing I want to talk about real quick is the Star Wars Episode 9 trailer, and it looks very exciting to me. And so it's, just from what I saw, it looks like what they're trying to make, they're making everything right again, and there's so many interpretations out there right now with some of the fan speculation, things like that. And, you know, the fan speculation, take that and flush it down the toilet, because, you know, I've heard some crazy ideas out there. And even when they had when Episode 2 was coming out, I knew a guy that had this whole thing worked out with Darth Maul, like he's not really dead and blah, blah, blah. And this is well before the Clone Wars cartoon and any of that stuff. He goes, it's the Clone Wars, and, you know, they're going to have, like, all these clones of, you know, and they're going to have that Darth Maul was just a clone, you know, because the film ended up becoming Attack of the Clones. So he had this whole thing worked out in his head, and none of it happened. And it was clear that the guy had spent a great deal of time thinking about this, because when he's telling me, he really believed this stuff. Like, he felt he was on the money. I mean, he could do no wrong with his theory. And so, It's like, we'll see. It looks like they're going to, you know, they're going to be doing, trying to get everything kind of right. Everything. And there's footage of Carrie Fisher in there. And there's like a tearful embrace with Rey. So that was probably footage that they either A, didn't use at the end of episode 8. And hard to say, because unfortunately Carrie Fisher has since passed away. And I believe that they probably were able to use some kind of footage and reconfigure it and all that stuff. So I just think that the Star Wars franchise right now, the way that it has mixed with reality as far as the passing of individuals, the timing and everything, it's very strange to me. I felt that like episode 8 was just really strange because you had the whole Mary Poppins thing, and we've talked about it on the show before, and it's like, I'm hoping 9 goes out with a bang, because supposedly it's the end of the Skywalker saga, the episodic Star Wars, so probably after that they're going to go into some other stuff, and you know, that might run the risk of watering everything down because, you know, the diehard Star Wars fans, it seems like they don't care about anything but the Skywalker episodic saga, if you will, and which I think is short-sighted, because if you get a good writer and a good crew and everything, man, there's so many cool things they can do with Star Wars. I mean, I'd back it up, and I'm ready to explore some other things. I feel that what they're doing is kind of tired out and rehashed. You know, in the trailer they talk about no one's ever truly gone, so that could leave an open-ended set of possibilities for storyline and things, and let the fans speculate and everything. And just, I mean, there's like a cackle from, you know, the Emperor, which is probably a soundbite taken from episode 6, which is really neat. So, and you see a shell of what's left of the original Death Star, the deflector blaster array, or the deflector array. Well, of course, that's more Star Trek, but the indentation of the Death Star, which has the huge beam that shoots out that can destroy whole planets and blah blah blah, you see that, and I would hope that maybe the ghost of like the force spirit form of Luke Skywalker shows up, and they do that right. Yoda, you can do Obi-Wan at this point. You could probably do CG for like Alec Guinness. I mean, there's so many different things you could do, I mean, with technology and everything, and it's like, it's going to be interesting to see how they handle, like, you know, Carrie Fisher and stuff like that. We'll see. They'll probably just have some short footage with her or something of that nature, but it just seems like, and I didn't catch this, but one of my friends had mentioned that they put, Kylo Ren had the helmet back on, with the whole mask and everything, which they should do, because it's a cool thing. Look for the character. I was so excited when Kylo Ren debuted in episode 7 because, you know, it's really like a new, I guess in a lot of ways, almost like a Vader, new generation version of like a Vader type character. I just think it's neat what they do with the, you know, the Sith characters and that kind of stuff. And, I just think it's really cool. And so, it looks pretty neat. You know, Rey will have gone through all her training with Luke Skywalker and stuff. The training she was able to get in before he bit the dust. And I think it's going to be really neat. I'm hoping that maybe this isn't like the last hurrah for Disney and that they want to keep doing more things Star Wars-wise that are going to be quality. But I think that really comes down to maybe the people, the director, the producer, and all the crew that are interested in doing a film, doing it justice. But if you think about it, if they abandon the Skywalker, or if they move on from the Skywalker thing, I mean, unless there's a firm foundation which will keep a quality level of the Star Wars feel in there, it's, when you think about it, it's kind of going to be hard to do that, because you don't really have a basis other than if you use the end of the Skywalker saga for the start of something new. They could do, like, I don't know, do the Crimson Guard, or do a new story arc with maybe like this whole Sith thing, because it's like, how can the Sith ever truly be gone? Because it's a dark side of the Force. You can't just, like, you know, there's a light side and a dark side. You can't just, you got to have both, right? Because there's a whole balance of the Force thing. And, you know, and it's like, how can you just get rid of the bad side? So I think there's plenty of meat on the bone to do something. If, as long as they do it decent, I think fans will really like it. And there's a whole new generation of fans out there. You have the old school fans from the 70s. You got the, I guess you could call them the millennial bracket, I guess, from the mid-2000s stuff, from the prequel films. And now you have this latest generation of fans for 7, 8, and 9. So it's like, there's a lot of possibilities out there, but I'm not as confident that Disney's going to be able to go ahead and really steal the show. They're going to have to prove me wrong. Now, I loved the Han Solo film, and I wanted to see a sequel of that. And last I'd heard, it's kind of doubtful they're going to do that. There's plans have been kind of, the kibosh has been put on those. You know, and the thing is like, I just really love that film. They did such a great job, and that piece of crap Episode 8 stuff was just, it totally cast a horrible shadow on that film, and that film got screwed. The Solo film got screwed. It's so good. And, I mean, people didn't like the Han Solo choice, but the guy honestly tried to do justice to the character. I gotta give the guy credit, you know, and it's, there's gonna be people that disagree with me out there, but that's kind of like what Star Wars is as far as the fans. Like, you're never going to make everybody happy. And for me, it's like, as long as you don't tread on the original characters and like their whole origin, I wasn't happy that they killed off Han Solo, but that wasn't the fault of the film company. That was Harrison Ford didn't want to do it anymore. He just wanted to be done with it, because I know he wanted to move on and do Blade Runner 2. And last I'd heard, he still wanted to do another Indiana Jones. It's like, buddy, screw Blade Runner. Nobody cares. But if you go off and do another Indiana Jones, people would love that, as long as it's done right and you do it soon. Because it's like, to say you want to do all this other stuff and then you're not doing it. You know, when's the last, Indiana Jones film was, what, 2007? You know, and it was just UFO crap. Let's stick to, like, real history, you know, but at any rate, there's people that argue that too, the whole Roswell thing and all that stuff, and, you know, which, it's interesting. You know, there's a lot of cool movies out, but it's like, I feel like the Marvel stuff's gonna run out too. I mean, you got the first 10 years, you've played all your major characters, and all your big hitters. It's like, so you're gonna follow it up with all these B and C list characters that, I mean, they're the ones that were in the back of the comic books, or they're comic books that were published, but not, they weren't read by a lot of people, you know. And it's War Machine, Black Panther, you know, Scarlet Witch. I mean, you're getting into the, I mean, Ant-Man. It's like, you're getting, they're cool, but I just don't know how far you can take them. I just don't know that there's enough there to really, I don't know. You got me. I mean, what do I know? All I know is from what I, you know, read in the comic books. And all the main characters they've been using, that's kind of like the big deal I think people want to watch. And I think that there might be some interest trailing with, you know, some of the sub-tier characters. But how long is that going to last? You know, and so we'll see what happens. I mean, they could have go ahead and just blow our socks off with, you know, the next 10 years or whatever they want to call it. So the Infinity War movie, it was good. It had some really cool spots in it. It was really sad. The end of it really ticked me off. Some of the Thanos stuff, they're not portraying him like he is in the comic books. In the comic books, he's just like this crazy cosmic, you know, heel. And they've humanized him so much in this film that his eyes don't glow. He's wearing this purple Under Armour thing. And, you know, it's like, he doesn't have that creepy, crazy look to his face. They humanized him so much. And I guess I don't like that. I'm thankful that there's a Thanos portrayed in the movies on some level. But I don't see why you can't go over, like, just full tilt with a guy. And give him the glowing eyes, for crying out loud. Give him some black eyes. I don't care. Make him creepy. He's not creepy in this movie. And his whole motivation for what he's doing is different. It's not even with the comic books. And I just, at first I was kind of overjoyed that they went ahead and used this character, you know, because, I mean, to diehard comic fans, we all know who Thanos is, but the general public's like, who's this guy, you know, this purple guy? And I felt that the Thor movies, by and large, are very good. Ragnarok was a little weak. I didn't really care for Ragnarok a whole lot. It was kind of, it's one of the more forgettable films. I felt that the, it was okay, but the first two, the other two Thor movies I liked a lot better. This Ragnarok had a different feel to it. It just, I don't know. It is just kind of strange. The Thor for me is the long hair and the just the more traditional, the whole, it had the medieval feel to it. You know what I mean? Ragnarok was kind of a strange film for me to watch, and I didn't watch it in theaters. I have the 4K or whatever it is. I have that, so I mean, not every movie's going to be your favorite, and it, like I said, you can't please everybody, and sometimes they can't please me. I mean, it doesn't matter, and you know, it's something for everybody, I guess. And now I just think that they should have really went full tilt, I think, with some of these. Like, if you're going to bring up obscure characters, or at least characters that aren't like the main players, why don't you bring in a Beta Ray Bill instead of just having a building with his face on it? You know, it's like, you're going to bring Stormbringer and bring in Beta Ray Bill. Go full tilt, go sci-fi if you have to, because, I mean, Beta Ray Bill's like an alien or whatever, but it's like, why not go, I mean, you're already bringing in, like, Guardians of the Galaxy with, you get all these, you know, different people from outer space. It's like, why not go full tilt, you know? But that's just me. Yeah, we'll see. It seems like it's possible that Marvel and DC are going to start leveling out as far as movies, because once this Infinity thing's done, DC could still catch up. I mean, you know, the Aquaman movie, that movie is just incredible. Momoa was fantastic, and that whole story in that movie was great. Everybody was awesome in it. The acting was fantastic. The story was great. The visual effects were fantastic. The soundtrack was brilliant, and it's sold out. I mean, that movie score sold out. I ordered it on Amazon, and I've tried looking for it in stores. It's sold out, and it's sold out until I think May or June is when Amazon's going to get more copies in. I mean, that's just crazy. And there's just things in that Star Trek. It's after midnight. I'm getting tired, but I guess what I'm trying to say is that soundtrack is just awesome. And the soundtrack was done by the same gentleman that did the Cowboys and Aliens soundtrack, and I don't have his name off the top of my head, and I'm not going to say it because I'll get it wrong. So, but I always liked his stuff, and I have the Cowboys and Aliens soundtrack. I just think it's cool. It's like when, like, in the beginning of the film, you know, where, like, Aquaman's coming in, and he's beating the crap out of all those guys on that submarine. It plays, like, this distorted bass guitar run with some chorus thrown on it, and it just makes me laugh, because it just enhances the toughness of the character. And it's very inspiring to watch, to see someone that tough just go in there and just clean house. You know, you got these guys toting their automatic assault rifles run, this guy just goes in there with his bare hands, you know, and, I mean, it's cool, you know. That movie had kind of a 80s action, you know, that whole sequence to me reminded me of like an old school classic 80s throwdown TV show or a movie where, like, the guy's just tough as nails, you know, and the music and everything was very Mike Post, A-Team kind of feel to it. I just loved it, you know, like when B.A. would go into a bar and just throw guys out the front door, just cracking, someone tries to crack a chair over him and stuff, and he just, you know, goes, beats a snot out of him. It's just awesome. I love that stuff. It's great. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to the next Aquaman installment, and it's one of those films, after watching these films where there's all this sad stuff that happens, at least for that one film, I don't know what'll happen in the subsequent films, but at least that film, there's a happy ending. You know, it's great. I mean, they nailed the Black Manta character, the suit, everything. The fight sequences are fantastic. So I'm looking forward to that, the next installment of that. I'd like to see him do another Justice League film. We'll see what happens with that. Probably, I guess it's looking doubtful, I guess. But then there's the whole Henry Cavill thing, and I feel like there was an Easter egg in the Shazam movie where, you know, where he's going to be back, because if you watch after credits, they're in the cafeteria, and I realize I'm bouncing around, but it's all relative in my mind. You see that Superman shows up, doesn't show his face. He's there. He's like, hey, I got a friend who's showing up today, and, you know. So, someone's going to play Superman. Yeah, I don't know what the ticket sales are for this, and I haven't looked at Rotten Tomatoes, or I haven't looked online to see what the reception is. I would assume that, at least in the first week, that there's decent sales from the hype, because a lot of people were excited about it, but I think that DC still has a long ways to go if they're going to catch up with Marvel. Now, someone had sent me, one of my friends had sent me this metric of DC movie ticket sales versus Marvel, and it looked like DC was ahead. Like, every movie that came out, they're actually making more money than Marvel was, which is surprising to me. Now, maybe that was a sarcastic metric, might not have been real. It's caught my eye. I thought that was funny. So, I think a lot of it's global sales. Global. If you go to global net ticket sale type thing, it's quite possible. I mean, I generally think of DC as like the Star Trek of, you know, to Marvel's, you know, property. Like Marvel's like the Star Wars, you know, it's more commercially accessible, and like DC's the more sophisticated, you know, more mature characters, and, you know, that kind of thing. And it, I mean, it shows in the movies. I mean, if you watch any of the Batman stuff, it's pretty dark, but it's just like, I don't even read a lot of the Marvel comics right now because they've been so bad. Like the Spider-Man stuff has like been trash. You know, it's stupid. I don't like it. You know, so it's like, I got some of the Venom first host, and that was okay because it was Mark Bagley doing it. You know, the art was good, but the story was, it was okay. But it was just cool to see Mark Bagley art. But, I mean, by and large, I think that Marvel's doing good in the movies, but I don't like what they're doing in the comics, and I just don't. I started buying, like, Man of Steel and Action Comics, you know, and I bought a couple of Supergirl ones. Haven't read those yet, but they're probably pretty decent. So it'll be interesting to see what happens, and if they come out with another Wonder Woman movie, that'd be cool. I don't know what the plans are for that because I haven't looked into it, but I really do wish they'd give Justice League another shot. And the movie's grown on me, but it's obvious that the effects and the production, they were so rushed. I mean, it looked like it wasn't finished. It looked like there were some aspects of it. It looked like an early 2000s CG sequence. Like when George Lucas went in and doctored up the Star Wars, the original trilogy, with, you know, computer animation circa 2004, you know, that's what it looked like, or 2007, whenever those, the original box set came out, the silver DVD box set. That's kind of interesting, and, you know, I'm hoping that DC has a decent Batman film. Oh, the other thing, speaking of that, it was funny to see the new Joker movie. It was like, I think Paul McGinty said it best. He said it's a clown guy movie instead of, like, because he's got like this stupid bicycle. My brother-in-law goes, it's the bicycle Joker, like on the bicycle card playing cards. It's like, what the frig is this, you know? And it just looked like, okay, you know, the guy's in the subway getting kicked, and then he's in the alleyway getting kicked, and he's just like a wuss, you know? He doesn't, like, defend himself or anything. He's just kind of crumpled up on the floor. And I'm like, whatever happened, like, Jack Napier, you know? That guy was tough, man. He was a thug. And he would masquerade as, like, you know, the Red Hood, you know? Had, like, the whole ace playing card thing. It's like, why don't you go and do something like that? Why? I don't understand what this crap Hollywood artistic garbage is. It's like the Joker has been a joke, as far as I'm concerned. Jack Nicholson was the last decent Joker they had. And no one's going to change my mind to that. I did not like the Heath Ledger Joker. I don't like this Joker. This Joker is the worst, though. If I had to pick between the two, I'd pick the Heath Ledger one over anything. And it's like, why do these guys keep missing the mark? Well, it's because they don't care what the fans think. And honestly, I don't think that they give two rips about the source material. And I don't know if they think that maybe with their version of Joker that maybe it'll pick up and have breathe a life of its own. I don't know. All I know is I don't like it, and I know a lot of the fans don't like it. I don't know. I've lost all faith in Hollywood. And I think Hollywood nowadays is more about advancing its own stuff, homegrown vision on movies, instead of, like, if you're gonna do a comic movie, could you please make a decent movie that's accurate with the comic books? That's the source material. Don't go off and do this separate crap. You know, if like McDonald's wanted Hollywood to make a biopic about Ronald McDonald, but make it like fictional or something, they'd probably have like Ronald McDonald having like a purple hair and wearing like a blue striped outfit, a blue and green outfit. That's how I feel about like what this last Joker movie is doing to Joker, you know. And it's like, at least the Jack Nicholson film had a purple outfit. His makeup was fantastic. Tim Burton knocked it out of the park. And I don't get why they can't do something like that and just, okay, update it a little bit for now. Update a little bit for where we're at now. But I think it would be so cool if they went back. If you're hell-bent on doing a solo Joker movie or an origin movie, go ahead and use the Red Hood. Go ahead and go that storyline. That would be so awesome. You know, he takes the helmet off, he looks in the mirror, and he goes insane because he looks hideous. It's so cool, you know? I mean, and it was great what they did with the 89 Joker, where he had all these goons, they had like these lavender pink cars or whatever, and they're all these beat up old, like, Dodge, you know, Monacos or whatever, and like the Blues Brothers. I mean, I love that stuff. In fact, I've got two of the models. I think Hobby Lobby had them, and you get like, you go in there and they've got like the original reissued models from the 80s that I always wanted. And they updated the packaging, but they've got the old photographs on the side of the model boxes where you can see what it looks like when it's all painted and put back together again. I just, to me, the epitome of Batman, the Batman films is 89 Batman. I really loved Batman Begins. It's so rugged and raw, and to have Ra's al Ghul in there, and have Ra's al Ghul, and have, like, Liam Neeson was, like, so awesome in that. It's like, man, that was a great film. I didn't like the second movie. I didn't like the storyline. I didn't like the Joker in it. There was things happening in the film where people in the crowd were laughing, and it wasn't funny. It's just that kind of stuff. I'm not a psycho thriller kind of guy. I want a comic book movie. Don't make it anything else but that. I'd like the third Batman movie. No one else did. Okay, I know Bane sounds like Jimmy Stewart. I understand that. But I still like the film. They had some cool hardware on there. It had, like, the bat. You know, the flying vehicle, the bat. That was awesome. I didn't like the camo Batmobiles. I thought those were stupid. I pictured, like, anyone, you know, in the Batmobile, they're drinking Mountain Dew and eating Doritos while they're driving the camo Batmobile. And I thought that was just kind of stupid. But, you know, it was like the second movie had the bat turd cycle. That's what I call it. Looked like it, you know, it looked like, just looked stupid. And so, yeah, I'm being kind of brutally honest with my opinions here, but I just think, I know Bane wasn't like the comic book character at all, but it's like, I thought Tom Hardy was great. And it's like, they used elements of the Nightfall storyline, which was okay, where, like, you know, Batman got seriously screwed up, his back was broken and that kind of stuff. And, I wish that they would have an actor that would stay Batman for a while. I mean, what, you got three movies out of Christian Bale, I guess that's a good stint, but I started to warm up to Ben Affleck as Batman. Actually, you know, I felt that that'd be pretty cool, you know, for him to do that, but I'd heard that he doesn't want to do it anymore. I just don't like the ping-ponging thing, but, you know, there's a lot of actors in Hollywood that they don't want to be known just for one thing. People have short memories, so if the only movies they're doing are Batman movies for the last 5 to 7 years, well, people aren't really going to pay attention to what they did before that. You know, and people are like, oh, Daredevil, there was a Daredevil film? Oh, he was Daredevil? Okay. Oh, I got it. And obviously someone that's in their 30s, you know, like me, I'm going to know about the Daredevil movie because it came out in the mid-2000s. But a younger kid who's, like, in high school, he's like, oh, that's old. I don't want to watch that, you know? And so it's like, I think that there's a lot of broken continuity, you know, in the Marvel Cinematic Universe over the years. Because, like, you know, they started doing those movies in the mid-2000s, like Daredevil and Elektra and stuff. And it was kind of like, it had nothing really I guess it kind of did, maybe a little, but they really weren't in full swing with, like, the whole first 10 years or whatever, because really Iron Man started all that, you know? They really didn't find their stride yet, and it's like, you know, he had, like, the the Wolverine films, which were kind of their own deal. That was, like, a Fox-Sony thing or whatever, so those are kind of off on their own thing. And you got that whole debacle where he had, like, two sets of continuities going on, and he had a Quicksilver in this movie and a Quicksilver in that movie, and they're dramatically looking as far as characters, and it just, it was strange, you know, and it's, yeah, it's a debacle. It's a debacle. And, I mean, Sony's not doing that great. They've been struggling to come out with some new stuff, and now they own, like, the properties for, like, Felicia Hardy, like the Black Cat, and they've been, I had heard they were tossing around some ideas for some solo films like that, but it's like, I still haven't watched the Venom film, and people are panning that, they're saying it wasn't that great. I own it on like 4K, and I still haven't watched it. I always had this idea that they would do a Secret Wars film, and then you could bring in the black suit that way, and then do the whole Eddie Brock thing correct. And you don't have the kid from that 70s show going in there. You know, it's like Tom Hardy is a really good fit for that character. Because he's actually jacked. He's not a pencil neck. I liked him in Star Trek Nemesis when he played Shinzon. You know, I think it's cool. He did a great job. And so I guess we'll see what happens. But I don't know. It's like, I'm cautiously optimistic about the Marvel stuff. DC, they're still behind, they're the underdogs, but I think if they do, they have the next few films they do are pretty solid. I think they could actually, like, maybe, like, even the race out a little bit. Because, like I said, you know, Marvel's blown through all their good characters, and now they got these other guys. And so, we'll see who they bring back, you know, who ends up not staying snapped or whatever for the next Marvel film, which is out next month, but yeah, we'll see what happens. So, got a lot coming up movie-wise, and I'm looking forward to seeing the Captain Marvel movie tomorrow, and I'm sure Ponch and I will be back to talk about that. I'd like to get Jody back on here at some point, but he's been busy, so as we all have, and it's easier for me to come back and do a podcast, because it's my show. I can just do it whenever I want to, but when you got to line up other people, you know, it's, even if you give them advance notice, I mean, life is life. Things happen. So, Ponch is a little bit more flexible because, I mean, I don't give these guys a lot of advance warning, like I've said in past episodes. And so I'm grateful for any time that they can make it on. But tonight, I wasn't able to line up with anyone's schedule. So, but I wanted to get another episode out, you know, and you know, my music's really been my focus. You know, my job takes most of my time, but, you know, my family, but any free time I've been getting has been, you know, related. So, I'm taking, you know, it's been hard to peel off time to do the show. And so I'm going to start doing these solo if I have to just to get some content out there. With that being said, I appreciate you guys that are still with the show. I really, I dig the fact that you guys are, you know, corresponding with us on social media. Tomorrow I will be doing a video, the first toy review video. Actually, it's more of an unboxing video. I'm going to be, my son's going to be doing that with me, and it should be a lot of fun. It'll probably be more like a Ryan's toy review format, you know what I mean? So it'll definitely be a G-rated thing. So I think that's probably the format I want to do this for a while, as far as, like, toy reviews and stuff. I'm going to do more of an unboxing type deal. I've never been in, like, well, check the articulation. Here you got articulation at the waist, ball joints on the shoulder, blah, blah, blah. I don't care. Here's the toy. Here's what it looks like. Does it look good or not? Does it have a good fun factor for the kids? Do a little bit different spin on it, you know? So, and they're retail toys. They're not like Maddie Collector, $35 a piece type thing after shipping, you know, $37, whatever. So I would expect these toys to be perfect, you know. That's going to just about do it. I will get this out as soon as possible. and hope you guys have a good rest of your weekend. And real quick, I just want to say thank you for the podcasts that I have supporting this show. You know, I just Element of Surprise of Chadwick Sewitt. We hope this finds you well. The McSauce Podcast, of course. Fireside Chat, Ryan McCormick. All you guys are fantastic. That's going to just about do it, and I hope you guys have a good weekend. And if you end up seeing Captain Marvel this weekend, hope you enjoy it. I'll definitely give you my 2 cents when I am on the next episode. Have a good weekend, guys.